Hey, Danger Dan Jurz here with a quick announcement. Our next interstitial bonus content will be Daniel's Power Rangers mini campaign, and it will be the final one before the start of Season 2 officially begins. It's a soft Season 1 epilogue slash side story that will be releasing exclusively on Patreon, with its first episode dropping Wednesday, May 27th. Stick around after the episode to hear a sneak preview. More details about Season 2 will be coming soon, so keep an ear out and enjoy the episode.
D&D Dark Souls is a dark fantasy adventure intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the
hello and welcome to D&D Dark Souls, a dark fantasy actual play podcast inspired by mechanics from the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game system and starring some of Fantasia's most fractured fairy tales. I am your host and scribe of the Great Flame, Ben Magnet.
Hello everyone, I'm Aaron and I play the Huntsman, our thief of fencer origin, and last time we went shopping!
Yay!
I was told I had heroic energy, so I just had to remind everyone who they were dealing with, and so I reminded everyone that we're spending souls, actual human souls, as our source of currency. Everyone else is a little flippant about it, but I got a couple of upgrades, people. Upgrades.
Hell yeah.
So now my AC is going to be rocking. My range is so far, and I got more juice in the flask. We got to shit talk Mick on the way over to the Palace of Privilege.
Oh, that was the best part.
And now we see some goofy looking women up on a balcony.
Hello, my name is Daniel Cruz. I play the real boy who we now know is Pinocchio. Shock and surprise. The real boy, I'm just going to keep calling him the real boy. It's just in there. Had a moment with the craftsman, Geppetto, his father. Remembered who he was, why he was fighting. And then told everybody, please talk to Mick because I'm going to hurt his feelings because I'm not going to lie to him.
And then we hurt Mick's feelings.
Exactly.
And then we hurt Mick's feelings anyways. So.
Ah, take that.
But we didn't lie to him.
That's but we true. Didn't lie. That's the important part.
Hello, I'm Danger Dan Jurz, and I am playing Prince Edward, our jack-of-all-trades of deprived origin. And last time, the big focal thing was the major heart-to-heart that the real boy had with the craftsman. I also made myself permanently grafted into an iron suit and had some fun with cosmetics. Then, after making our way to the Palace of Privilege to confront the mother of wickedness, we now are standing front and center in the middle of the ballroom with all eyes on us. So we'll see how this goes.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play the spider, our assassin. So we got back to the bonfire. There was a lot of shopping to be had. The spider's list was quite light. She just got a new sword and a new set of armor. And her shield was very lovely, caringly decorated by the craftsman to now incorporate a black widow spider. And she was very, very warmed and very touched by that sentiment. Saw a very beautiful, very resonant conversation between Pinocchio and Geppetto that she felt very deeply. It touched a nerve very deep down in her soul, but Pinocchio was very kind about that. And now we push forth and she anticipates what this particular evil scary castle will have in store for her. Good things. Good things, I hope.
Yeah, nothing but good things happening to good people.
Yeah.
Hello, I'm Grayson. I play the knight. I mean, we kind of went over it. We did the shopping. We clowned on this one dude that is supposed to be good, but he's not good, but he's going to train to be better. I don't know if I'm going to hold out hope for that. But hey, you know what? We are here in a castle at the next fight, or I don't know. I don't know if he's going to fight. I assume that it's going to be just a conversation, like we were just saying. It's just good things. So, I don't know. It's Dark Souls, guys. Come on.
And with that, let's delve back into the darkness.
Is there any check we can make to where we can kind of like parse out the idea that she has no intention of playing fair?
Roll insight.
Okay.
In the meantime, as all eyes are on us, and she says, "Are my terms acceptable, Ashen Ones?" The prince is going to say, "Well, when do we start? The bounty isn't going to collect itself, and that's what we're here for."
Grayson, what was the result of your roll?
I got a natural 20.
Oh!
I've been a part of hostage negotiations.
She is outright lying through her teeth. She never plays fair. She is always bound to her word, but twists it so that she always gets her way at the very end. She is the ultimate deal breaker and ultimate deal giver. You cannot trust her to save your life.
This will not be a deal that will fall within our liking. I would not recommend trusting anything that this spiteful witch decides to say.
The prince is going to continue to plow ahead, saying, "If you're offering a bounty, we know the ones responsible for the felling of the Queen of Vanity. There was a trio that just escaped from Ebony Castle that we have a lock on, and we would happily..."
She holds up her hand and goes, "My dear Ashen One, do not think me so naive. I know exactly who you are, what you did."
Can I roll deception?
Yes, you can. At disadvantage.
With a disadvantage, that is an 18.
Ooh, damn, okay.
I expertised in deception for this reason.
You did. All right, continue with your lie. You actually cut her off.
"Yes, I'm glad that you recognize fellow royalty and nobility within the room. It's refreshing to have somebody finally take the royal seal seriously, and so you understand that I know what I'm talking about. When a trio of knights named Mick, Donathan, and Gerald escaped from Ebony Castle, having freshly slain the Queen of Vanity, we have a lead on them, and we can bring them to you. If you want to make a deal, we are willing to negotiate."
"Well, I'm quite surprised at the news. But, well, I guess at one point they might have gotten lucky. But in order for me to trust you, trust goes both ways. And I have a task for you. You see, my pet is gone missing. Ran outside into the courtyard, and I wish for you to return him to me. Bring him back to me, and you will have my full support in hunting down the Ashen Ones that killed the Queen of Vanity. Fail, and well, I would love for you to try and get past my two guards down there." As the sentries just look over and glare.
"I believe we are up to the challenge, aren't we?" As I direct that back to the party, and just kind of like, look to each of them and try to signal with my eyes, play along.
You see an unusual cocksure smirk on Huntsman's face as he just got asked to go get an animal. Are you fucking kidding me?
While the prince looks back at the rest of the party, the knight will step to his side, kind of obscuring Pinocchio, just in case he has any reservations about this deception.
"I believe if this is a task that we are all capable and comfortable doing, it could be worthwhile to at least explore the option."
As for the spider, she is specifically at a zero, emotions, intentions, everything. Very almost disassociated in this, but you can assume that she will follow and take your lead.
"Young prince, do you think that there is any way we are able to acquire a sort of guide? Perhaps one of the daughters?"
"We will happily take up the task for you. We simply request knowledge of the grounds. If perhaps one of your lovely aides would be willing to show us around so that we know the hunting grounds,
And the Mother of Wickedness looks over and goes, Matilda, show them where you last saw Lucifee. And also get to know him, because you never know. They might be able to claim you as a prize someday. Best to keep your chin up, dear. And Matilda looks over, does a very forced curtsy, and walks down the steps with as great of elegance and grace as she can muster. And she stands at the foot of the stairs and goes over to underneath the balcony and motions and says,
this way, please.
Guys, he said Matilda, but he's giving us Muffet's token. Grab her and run. Grab her and go.
Yeah, was it Matilda or was it Madeline Muffet?
Oh, fuck, it was Madeline. Yeah, yeah. Never mind.
Redo.
Oh, got it.
Retake that scene.
Wait, no. Wait, the name's not being consistent. Works for me. Let's keep it, please.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Très intéressant.
Yes.
She motions you outside to a courtyard where she last saw Lucifee.
I'm going to attempt to whisper to the prince again. Young prince, I would perhaps suggest showing off the royalty in which you carry. Kind of suggesting to maybe hold her gently by the arm and kind of guiding her in that way.
Your Majesty, I would suggest that you strut and serve.
Can I roll performance on that?
Yes.
How royal we looking in the Palace of Privilege?
That is a 21.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
So you approach Miss Muffet and you flash that your royal crest, and she, with almost perfect precision and knowledge of royal protocol, bows her head, does a slow curtsy, and naturally takes your arm as she looks over at the rest of you and motions you to follow her. But her eyes lock on Spider, and she's looking at you for a few seconds longer, and then she breaks away and leads you out into a courtyard.
Spider specifically does not make eye contact.
And I will say that while he is successfully selling it for everyone else, the party, having spent time with him, might notice him putting in a lot more focus, effort, and strain in being proper than you might expect.
Interesting. Ooh.
I want to ask if I can perceive it.
If you want to do a contested deception versus perception, no matter what we roll, I will give you something.
Yeah, I'm down for that. So just because I want to make it fair.
That is an 11.
Okay, on the dice, I already rolled a 17.
Okay, what specifically are you looking for?
I would say the knight has been under the impression that training takes place between the ages of, like, basically just a young child all the way into the teen years. But how, like, the prince is, I would assume, like, in their 20s by now. So they should have
this. The prince is, like, late teens, early 20s.
Okay, so this should be more of an easy and practiced motion.
I will say with what you've perceived, it is a skillful performance. It is not as smooth or natural as it should be, and there are some slight regional contradictions.
Got you.
Hmm.
The knight will start storing more information on that in his head.
So as for our current goal, I'm going to be really great at helping find this thing. I'm used to bringing back animals dead. So if you guys want to help out with any ideas for that.
I wouldn't be too sure about that. This one tends to fight back a little bit, but if you can bring it back alive, I know stepmother would appreciate it. As you can tell that she hates calling the Mother of Wickedness stepmother.
Was there a name that all of us were supposed to call her? Or is it still just Mother of Wickedness?
You could just keep calling her the Mother of Wickedness.
Okay.
Wicked Mommy is also there on the table.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Vetoing that, shutting
it
down.
As the GM, I have to agree with Daniel. It is not. I am also shutting that down.
Sty.
All right, so Bad Mom it is.
So, as you approach the courtyard, while the courtyard's not run down, you can tell this is a place where people and animals go where they want to be left alone for a while. or where they go to escape the hustle and bustle and the loudness of the castle. And you all look and you see a cat.
Meow.
Just on the cobblestones, meow, stretching and purring. There he is. Just remember, he will fight back. And as she walks away, she gives one last look over at you, Spider. And she mouths, "Be careful," to you as she walks away.
I think with that, the spider is trying so hard not to look at Miss Muffet in order to not let this affect her and the job at hand and to not put her at risk. But catching that acknowledgement will cause her to wince a little bit and cause the facade to have a crack. But going forward with the job to do, we'll take out her new shiny sword and step forward.
I think if we can gauge the lethality of this beast, perhaps we do not take it alive.
Grayson, all you see in front of you is just a kitty cat.
Meow.
Get him.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like some massive beast. I thought that, so.
It has taken up a lot of token.
Yeah, spots. The token is like six times as big as us.
That's a big cat.
If it was the regular size, you couldn't see it. I blew it up so you guys could just see Lucifee, okay?
Thank you.
Well,
meow.
Okay.
Who's good with cats? I'm not.
Meow.
Real boy, do you have any experience with felines?
My animal handling is a 2.
Oh, shoot. We have that. I forgot. Let me check.
Suppose I could attempt.
Yeah, in some media, he has owned a cat.
He had Figaro.
Oh, yeah, Figaro.
He had Figaro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to say, I suppose I can attempt this. So the real boy slowly...
You guys know you're sending him to his death, right? His position's like 10.
Actually, Daniel, move your token back over here for me real quick, please.
Oh,
goodness. Oh, good. Here we go.
I was going to ask, like, can I be following him just in case?
As the real boy, a.k.a. Pinocchio, walks forward, Lucifee, the cat, looks over, purrs, stands up on all four legs, starts walking. You see what would be, you know, beautiful greenish eyes of a cat. They start to turn from green to yellow to red, and the cat grows and grows, and what you thought were purrs were guttural growls as the cat approaches you, morphing, grossly disfigurating itself, its claws branching out from its hands, forming in a shape of a what looks like two great swords, and it goes from meow,
meow, meow.
Oh.
As it before you, you see not Lucifee the cat, but Lucifee the Capra Demon.
Oh, trauma response. Oh, God.
This is why I don't like cats.
I need you all to roll for initiative.
The huntsman, by the way, remarkably did not go in with everyone else, and he's just leaning back like, it's never a fucking cat, you guys. Come on. It's come on.
Okay.
Is it an instant go first one, or does it need to roll its own initiative?
It's an instant go first one.
Aw, sorry, Jordan.
Womp womp.
And as an instant go first one, it is going to move right up here, and it is going to make a multi-attack.
Bad kitty, bad kitty!
And according to my book, the Cap Demon makes 3 melee attacks. 2 is with its machete swing, and 1 with its machete slam.
Where'd this cat get a machete?
It's the claws.
Gotcha, gotcha.
So it's going to do 2 machete swings, 1 on the real boy and 1 on Grayson the Knight.
Okay, I dropped AC for the armor I picked up. So I'm even easier to hit now.
Well, with the 15 plus 10, so it's a 25 to hit the real boy. And let's see, that is a 2d8 plus 6 piercing damage. And also, because it's a successful hit, if the target is a creature other than a construct, it must succeed on a DC 17 constitution saving throw or lose 3d6 position at the start of each of its turns due to the appalling wound inflicted. Any creature can take an action to staunch the bleeding with a successful medicine check. The wound also closes if the target receives magical healing.
Hey, Ben.
Mm-hmm.
I got a nat 1 on that save.
No!
Oh, shit. Okay, well, first let's do 19 points of damage for the swing. And you got a nat 1. You know, I'll just say you lose 20 position at the start of your next thing, okay?
So when it comes to my turn, I lose 20 position?
Automatically, yes. Unless you get healed.
Cool, I'm dead.
At the start of his next turn, though.
You mean the turn after this round?
Yes.
Okay, not dead then.
Yeah, he's not dead. Yet.
I was gonna say, force feed him some Estus.
Okay, so that was the first thing. Now we're gonna roll to hit for Grayson. Does a 15 hit, Grayson?
It does not.
Huzzah!
Raise up my shield.
I missed on Grayson, and now all creatures within a 20-foot radius, which means...
Which I believe is all of us.
Except for Huntsman. Huntsman's not
except
that...
Aaron.
Yeah, except for Aaron.
Yeah.
It's never a fucking cat!
All creatures within a 20-foot radius of the Capra Demon must immediately make a DC 17 dex save. On a failure, the creature is knocked prone and summers 4d6 bludgeoning damage. On a successful saving throw, the creature suffers half damage.
I rolled a 16.
That is a 6.
Damn, no!
I'm going to use my dive and roll to re-roll a dex save.
Okay.
Let's go.
I got an 11, alas.
Oh.
But I do have evasion. I just got evasion, so.
Hell yeah.
So what is the damage on that?
The damage total is 15. So everyone within who failed your dex save take 15 extra damage.
Okay. Because I have an evasion, when you would roll a dex save, that would cause you to take half damage on a success. Instead, take no damage. When you would take full damage, take half damage. So that would be...
8. You take 8 damage.
So, Daniel, are you at 1 HP?
2.
2? That's what I thought. Stay within 5 feet of me.
I will try.
My level 7 ability is if I am within 5 feet of a bloodied ally, any damage they take goes to me instead.
Okay.
And that's the demon's turn. It's now Grayson's turn.
Oh, boy. Let's open up this can of worms. Hey, Aaron, you ready to go all in?
We killed one of the mega bosses. We are not dying to the next boss's goddamn cat. Railgun incoming.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I was expecting that because this needs to be done now. I will engage Cursed Memory. By spending 2 position, an old memory stirs. Choose 1 foe. All attacks are made with advantage until it is killed.
Ooh.
You beautiful, beautiful man.
So now I get advantage automatically, and I will roll my 2d20.
All right.
Damn it. So, oh wait, no, that's 19. Okay, yeah, crit.
Oh shit, crit.
So that is 2d10. Now, because of my sunlit sword, is a d10 of damage. That'll be 16 total damage, but I scored a critical on my previous one, so I get to add a d8 to this next attack.
Ooh, spicy.
Yo, that's another 19.
Oh!
So, I mean, not as much damage as I wanted to do, but we're doing something. So that's 2 crits and an extra from Remorseless, thank goodness. So that'll be 25.
Okay. Damn. Your sword connects. It's the demon. The demon doesn't really wince. It's been through this shit before. And yeah, but you've got some good hits on it.
Alrighty. Yeah, that'll be it.
Okay, Spider, you're up.
Okay. Spider is going to run up to Giant Kitty Cat and is going to try and stab him in his little toes.
Not the toe beans.
What? Not the beans.
That will be a 19 plus 6 to hit.
That will hit.
Huzzah. Since there's somebody nearby, I can do sneak attack damage. Plus my sneak attack went up by 1, so that will be 4, 5, 6, 6, d6.
Oh.
27 damage.
Ooh, hell yeah. Okay, 27 damage. It did not like getting hit with the toe beans.
No one ever goes for the toe beans.
As you stab its toes, the Capra Demon just lets out this... unholy hiss.
This is not as spicy because it was on the second turn and I don't get sneak attack, but I did roll a nat 20!
Please balance out my awful rolls.
Huzzah! Double the dice. So that will be 4d6 piercing from my very nice shiny sword.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be 14.
Okay.
On my second attack.
Hell yeah.
Nice, nice.
And because I'm a little scared, I'm going to take a little sip from the Estus flask as a bonus action, and then I'm going to speed out of the way.
Okay. Skedaddle, you stab its toe beans twice. It is horrific. It is disgusting. But you know, I stabbed its motherfucking toe beans.
Attack where they least expect it.
Huntsman, or should I say railgun?
I've got a comment and a question. First of all, I don't see why Wicked Mommy was taken off the table when all this toe combat is perfectly fine.
You know, I will give Aaron that one.
We're talking about a cat, not the Wicked Mommy's toes. It's different.
I see the token. Can I insight or perceive how much health this thing has to see if I can, like, one HP it, knock it out instead of railgunning it?
I will let you insight. If you roll a 10 or lower, you don't know. 10 to 15, I'll give you a general description. 15 or higher, I'll tell you exactly where it's at.
But very smart going for the non-lethal takedown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 11.
It is just above half health.
Nice. Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, math. Okay. Great. Well, I'm going to roll to attack.
Okay. Roll to attack.
Does a 25 hit?
Yes, it does.
So it is injured already. So I get a cool, crisp D8.
Mm-hmm.
I get 4D6 off of not having moved. And then the D6 of the bow itself.
Okay. So
let's just see how this goes.
All right.
So it's going to be 21 off the dice. Let's see. They did approximately, I'll say 70-ish damage already, and that's half.
A little above half.
So if I've got 21 right now, I'll just drop 45 on that.
Ooh.
To make it a grand total of
66 damage.
66?
Yup.
Execute order?
That's the one.
Well, as you string your bow, you put your position in. The spirit of Snow White guides your shot to the Capra Demon. It connects. It roars. It is now bloodied. Because it's bloody, it will now do the double machete swing.
Absolutely terrifying for you guys. Again, you just start hearing the liquid. You're all used to it at this point. The sound of S slapping pavement at this point. And then in my cool new strategy, I'm going to run away. And that will be my turn now that I'm so far.
God damn.
All right. And now it is Daniel's turn.
Anybody need healing?
You do.
Does anybody else need healing? Please say yes, for the love of God.
If you get boosts from healing somebody, both myself and Grayson are below full health.
Yeah.
Either one, really. I think give it to Grayson.
I would say give it to the prince, so that way the attacks that come to you get redirected.
I'm going to... It's not going to be great, but I'm going to go ding, and I'm going to cast heal. You're going to gain 10 HP. I am going to gain 9 HP.
And that's magical healing, so you get healed from that.
Yes, magical healing.
Yep, it's magical healing. So your wound is now gone. However, if the Capra Demon were to hit you again with that attack, you do lose minus 10 at the next round.
He also just won't survive another hit.
Wait a minute. Can I take that back and do different order of things?
I'll allow it.
I want to use my special ability from the chime, because since I was bloodied when I was at 2, I can use my chime's special ability without spending any position.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to give Grayson 8 position. I'm going to give Dan 8 position. And then I'm going to cast heal and give myself back up to 11 HP. So I'm out of bloodied.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
Well, now get away from me.
Oh, okay. Mr. Huntsman, do you need your backpack?
Yes.
I know you don't like moving, but you might need to move a little bit.
We'll see.
Okay, and with that, now, Dan, your turn.
All right, so I am going to first use my new spell, which is an improvement on Iron Flesh, Strong Magic Shield.
Woo!
Hell yeah.
So while I've got my iron flesh over my flesh, basically this magic is going to roll over the top of the armor and my wooden plank shield and give it a little magic sheen and bubble. So for the next 3 minutes, I gain +8 to my AC. I'm resistant to piercing, slashing, bludgeoning, acid, force, and lightning.
Holy hell.
Ooh.
And I'm going to move up to the demon, and I'm going to, like, as this magic is washing over me and as I am buckling and bracing myself, say, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty." And I'm going to use the little magic sheen over my shield to try to, like, redirect a little ball of light across the ground to try to make it wiggle in front of him like a laser pointer.
Yes!
So good. So clever.
Oh my gosh, that's too funny.
And that will be my turn.
Okay, well, it is now the Capodemus' turn, and it's not going to move anywhere, but it is going to make...
Bye, guys!
Maybe, yeah, we'll see.
So, the first double machete is going to go on here, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Oh, shit. All right.
Does a 24 hit?
A 24 does not hit.
Ooh!
Oh! A tango man!
Tanky, wow.
It swings at you, but it doesn't swing at you because it's going for the light. It slams the ground, just barely misses you. The ground is still busted, but because of the impact, the light moves and a hit goes towards Grayson and is now going to make an attack at Grayson. Holy shit, it rolled a 3.
Yeah! Yay!
Where was this when I needed it?
I don't fucking know, dude. So a 13, I assume, will not hit, correct, Grayson?
Does not.
Cool. The light shines again, and it goes after the light and starts smashing the light. But because it's smashing the light, it is now going to make its slam attack. I need you and Dan to roll me a DC 17 dexterity saving throw, please.
That is a 13.
14.
So both of you will have to take a full 4d6 bludgeoning damage and also be knocked prone.
Got it.
Take an extra 12 damage, please, gentlemen.
Got
and
it.
And cut in half because of magic shield.
And all right, that's its turn.
All righty. I will stand up, which costs 15 feet of movement.
Okay.
Kind of echoing Aaron's sentiment, do we know how much health this thing has?
Roll me an insight.
Okay.
Get better insight than mine.
15 or higher, I'll tell you straight up.
I will say that I got 15 on the dice with a +2, so 17.
It's at 41 points of health left.
Ooh.
Just making sure, are we taking this thing alive?
Yes! From so far away.
We treat it like a Pokemon, Ben, where we just weaken it and then we can capture it. Because if we get it down to 1, that feels like...
If we get it down to 1, can we knock it unconscious instead?
You know what? I'll agree to that.
I just want to put this out there. My concern is that if we do the fight like we did the Queen of Vanity, and this thing is still alive, it's potentially on the table to fight again.
I just feel like narratively, we agreed to come out here and get it. What do we think is going to happen if we walk back inside and say, oops, actually, I killed it?
I'm hoping we get brownie points by incapacitating it.
Okay, all right. And I will still be following my cursed memory because I spent that 2 position on the last one. And it does say all attacks are made with advantage until it's killed.
Okay.
So 2 attacks at advantage. And now I've got my position that I can pour into these attacks. That's a miss on the first attack. So second attack coming in. That's going to be a 22 to hit.
A 22 hits.
13, 14, 15. So 15. And then I will dump 25, dropping it down to 1. So the knight will grab his sword, flip it around so that way it's the pommel, and uses it just like a large bonk on the top of its head. So non-lethal damage because we're knocking it out.
So you bring the demon down to 1 hit point. You bonk it on the head so hard that it just stumbles back, falls on its back, and I will say you knocked it out.
Ben, is there anything special we need to do to meaningfully secure it? Because ostensibly we're going to walk in with it like hog tied.
Would it turn back into cat form now that it's unconscious?
That's what I was thinking.
So the cat transforming into it was its own like personal action. It does not change back into its cat form because you knocked it, because it has,
okay,
to...
it has to will itself into different form.
Yes.
Got it.
So what I will say is, because you knocked them out, I will say for now you are all out of combat.
All right, everyone, grab some rope.
Well, this is going to make it real spicy for what I have planned.
Y'all, that's what I was expecting. And am I able to take a real quick short rest?
You could take a short rest, but you also have to like really watch the demon to keep like bonking it to make sure it stays out.
No, we're not. No, rest later.
We're not spending an hour
bonking this cat on the head.
Fine. All right.
All righty, we dragon.
Sure.
No, that's our next vile one.
Yeah, I guess we just drag it in. I would like to, if at all possible, hog tie it.
As you are about to do your thing, you hear Miss Muffet approach, and she goes, "Oh, still alive. What, did you get it?"
"Yes, we gave it the mighty bonk."
"Mighty bonk? What do you mean? Oh, by the flame, it's still alive!"
Language.
"Did you want it dead?"
"Oh, you, huh. Wow. You, it's not dead, it's asleep?"
"Yes. I suppose it might have been upset with no catnip."
"Oh, no, this thing... The cat form is just something it does to lure its prey in. It's what it truly looks like. Tremaine... Mother, she sends Ashen Ones out here to their deaths. She was never going to give you any sort of reward. Or any sort of... negotiation." As she looks toward the prince...
"It is what I figured, since I did say that whatever it was that she was planning was not going to be in our favor."
"Well, she wasn't planning on us surviving. So let's see how she thinks on her feet."
Before you go, Miss Muffet sees Pinocchio, the real boy. She can tell that he is rough. So she goes over and she is going to cast a Great Heal Excerpt on you. So she heals you for 25.
Cool. That is perfectly back to full position.
Oh.
Sweet.
Sweet. Okay. Perfect. Everyone else stays the same. You do not get any souls back because you technically did not kill it.
Right.
So Miss Muffet is just going to look around, look at all of you, and just goes, "Well, this is going to be definitely redo for Mother, but I must warn you, she may not attack immediately, but she will attack eventually."
"Just out of curiosity, is there any way around the castle? I would like to get you to a safer location. You seem as though you are not on the same side as her."
"No, you're absolutely right about that. In her eyes, I'm just a stepdaughter. She only truly cares for her real daughters, but what she did to her real daughters, you'll find that out soon enough, but the only way I'm safe is when she's dead. Is when they're all dead."
I think hearing that, Spider's going to start directly marching back into the castle. Full speed ahead.
Oh, looks like we're going.
Wait.
All right.
Wait, miss. We still... She's headstrong, isn't she?
Yep. And then you see the huntsman stand up with like the Capra demon hugging his back. You know, I don't think it's fireman carry, but the one where like you would carry your toddler or whatever.
I assumed that we would all be jointly like taking a limb and...
You could be like pushing up its ass or something to like take some of the weight off.
Well, I'm not going to do that.
Then I will be slow as hell behind the rest of you, but we can all slowly march into the castle.
I'm just along for whatever happens.
I chase after the spider to flag her down and intervene.
Okay.
Huntsman is just keeping up with the cat, Capra demon bouncing on his back. Just like, oh, come on, guys.
Actually, roll me a strength check, Aaron.
Oh, no!
Well, can he do it with advantage? Because I'm helping.
Okay, you can do it with advantage.
Thanks, Grayson, because that was bad. 18.
Yay.
Call it the miracle that Snow White gave you. Call it your renowned strength from all the battles. But the Capra demon, not as heavy as you thought.
Hell yeah.
The prince is going to run in front of the spider, intercepting her, saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on. What are you... What do you think you're doing?
I heard what I need to do in order for her to be free. Why are you stopping me?
I don't want to necessarily stop you, just... we need to be strategic about this. If you just slow down for one moment, we are going to catch her off guard with this, however things turn out. But if you trust me, I have a plan.
I think she's going to reflect on this moment and see that, yeah, she was just mad dog barreling in, realizing maybe not in the right headspace right now, is going to look at you and say, okay, I trust you. Whatever you say, I will take your lead.
Get your bow ready, but keep it subtle. Let me do the talking. I will get in close. And when I'm right next to her and have her distracted, then you open fire.
Will you be okay?
From what I understand, we can't really die in a meaningful sense of the word, so sure, it'll be fine.
She's gonna look at you a little begrudgingly, and knowing kind of the resiliency you've shown so far, there's a little bit of guilt in that, and she'll say, what will be your signal?
All right, so, scepter, shield. I'm going to clang my scepter against the shield twice.
Twice.
Two times.
Two times. Clang, clang?
Clang, clang.
Okay. Clang, clang.
And she nods affirmative at you.
As this is going on, Miss Muffet is going to, like, tap the huntsman on the shoulder, and Leonora's like, does the Veiled One always do that?
What, like, repeat things? Normally just the stuff that she already said, not usually other people's things, but yeah.
Oh. Okay, then.
It's endearing after a while.
So we make our way back into the ballroom?
I believe we make our way back into the ballroom.
Okay. And now we all make our way back into the ballroom, where the guests, upon seeing you enter, immediately move to the side.
The prince is going to immediately step front and center and say, as promised, one very sleepy kitty.
And you move the capper demon ever so gently right into the middle of the ballroom. The guests, being hollows, if they could gasp, they would. And you see the Mother of Wickedness moves a little bit closer to the edge of the balcony and is actually shocked that you brought your quarry as promised and you are all not dead. As she looks over the knocked out, very sleepy, and also kind of bloodied capper demon, all you hear is her slow clapping. Well done. Well done indeed. I have to congratulate you all. For you are the first Ashen Ones to ever somewhat successfully complete a task I've set out for you. Now, forgive me, but I do believe my task was to retrieve my cat. What is that? As she points to the capper demon.
Would you prefer it be dead?
Well, I don't know what that thing is, so possibly, maybe, does it pose a threat to us?
I'm not sure. All I know is that this thing sprang out of whatever the cat was that you sent us after. Regardless, we did as you requested, and so now we can give you the information that you sought from us. This was all to gain an audience with you, was it not?
It was. And you are having it now. So, what information do you have?
Well, we happen to know the whereabouts of the Ashen Ones that felled the Queen of Vanity. I would be willing to give you that information a bit more up close and personal, but prying ears and whatnot, so...
Oh, my dear, oh, dear Prince. What are you, anyway? You look as though you are a prince, but I don't know. I've never seen you before.
Nor have I you. I hope you're not insinuating anything about my nobility. I would hate to be one to return the favor.
Oh, you're a cheeky one. Well, even though I do understand prying ears, but that I can guarantee everyone in this ballroom wants to know, as you've not noticed, that they are within my domain, my thrall, and will do whatever I say. All I have to do is just snap my fingers and we march to find them. So, if you would be oh so kind as to tell us where their whereabouts are, I will send my army to them post-haste and you will be rewarded in kind.
Absolutely. I will give that to you in writing. And I'm going to reach into my pouch, pull out a parchment, and begin to write it down. If you would be so kind as to tell your soldiers to move out of the way, I can hand this to you in person.
The mother claps her fingers, and this hollow walks up to you, takes it, and walks past the statue.
Ah, but bother.
She gives the piece of paper to the mother witness, and Dan, do you want to tell me what the paper says?
The paper says, you didn't think it would be that easy, did you?
The mother looks up and just starts smiling a very dry smile and goes,
you've got balls, young prince. I have had a little bit of reputation, all set by design, you see. I would let my walls be seemingly lowered, my guard quote-unquote down, so fools can come in, take my challenge, and then meet their inevitable deaths over and over until they either fall under my employ or give up altogether. It seems that some education is in order. Anastasia? Gisella? Show our guests true noble hospitality, if you so please. And she turns and walks away. And her daughters, Anastasia and Drizella, on either side, start walking down the steps. But as they do, their visage changes, morphs. No longer do you see two women, but two armored figures descending the stairs, great swords in hand. And as they reach the bottom of the case, they swing their blades and destroy each statue simultaneously. As you take on Anastasia and Drizella, the Abyss Walkers. Roll for initiative.
Well, thank you for clearing the way of those statues, but that was a bit flashier than I intended.
Clang clang? Clang clang?
Not yet. Hold.
Oh, clang clang.
Spider, sit this one out. We haven't heard the signal.
No.
Prince is going to disappointedly look over his shoulder and very half-heartedly clang clang.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark Souls, created and hosted by Ben Magnet, with artwork by Jordan Nelson and editing by myself, Danger Dan Jurs. If you want to join the ranks of patrons like Billy Bob Jones, Brandon McClure, Lindsay Tutt, Mellow Calico, and Pyropat, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can also help us out by spreading the word to your friends and family or leaving us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. Our cast was Grayson Norman as The Knight, myself, Danger Dan Jurs, as The Prince,
Aaron Coffold as the Huntsman, Jordan Nelson as the Spider, and Daniel Cruz as Pinocchio, the Real Boy. Our theme song and outro were created by Nicole Carino. Additional music was provided by Monument Studios. Keep an ear out for more content from us and follow our socials at @dndark_podcast for info about more of our upcoming projects.
We're going to go ahead and move Miss Muffet down here with the rest of you all. And also, I got to get the Capper Demon back in there. Just one second, please. Un momento, por favor.
It's like you weren't prepared to bring this token in here. But
shut up.
Hello and welcome to Super Stryford Regency Rangers, a comedy action adventure loosely based on Sentai and Sensibility by 9th Level Games and starring some of Stratford's most colorful creatures.
You may call me Adrien Alucard Depeche. If you know what my father did, it could be bad.
Looking matronly with her face hidden behind a fan stands the Kuchisake Ona. Doesn't everyone think she's beautiful?
My name is Sir Gordon Topham Hatt. Pleasure to meet you. I like to make stuff go boom.
My name is Richard Milo Renfield.
He's back.
He's just still like that. Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Frederick the Loafer.
My God, is this the dude that was like... in that one episode of Dean Dark?
It is the deepest cut of inside jokes that could be made.
Are you married, miss?
I am not married.
Kuchisake leans immediately to the group, just pulls a quick huddle. We need to get this trollop out of this fucking town.
We go fight?
I meet you at dawn tomorrow morning.
It's... date.
I hope to find love like that someday.
She says that I hit her. I did not hit her. It's not bullshit. I did not. And as you're walking, he just keeps following you.
Oh, God. I believe I have made an unfortunate ally.
On his hips are two pistols. On his back are two rifles. And on his chest, a triple barrel shotgun.
Oh, my God.
I will destroy all of you and destroy this town.
D&D Dark presents Super Stratford Regency Rangers, premiering Wednesday, May 27th, only on patreon.com/DNDarkPodcast.